New year, new look. Make 2022 the year your kitchen gets tunified. From a quick refresh to a full remodel, Kitchen Tune-Up offers five services to meet your goals and budget. Visit kitchentuneup.com or call 810-488-9778 now to request a free in-home estimate. Let Kitchen Tune-Up help you love your kitchen again.
And welcome back, 1380 WPHM. This is Caleb filling in for Paul today as we continue to look back at some of the biggest national and international stories of the year 2021. And joining us again, Michael Toscano, host of First Light. One of the big stories in 2021 was the realization here, Michael, that not only inflation was happening, but that it was not a temporary thing, that inflation is here, and it appears that it's here to stay for a while, too.
Yes, we had gotten so used to, for such a long time, years and years and years of basically no inflation, which, of course, the Federal Reserve was not happy about. They wanted to get inflation up to about 2% because, for various arcane reasons, that's a good number to keep the economy moving and keeping the prices somewhat in check from going up. But we got used to it. And then there were a couple of people were saying, you know, we're starting to worry about, we think we may get some inflation, you know, this year. And I think a lot of the first few people who said that were kind of dismissed as, oh, don't worry about it. And if it, even if it happens, it won't last long because, you know, a lot of people thought, well, inflation is being caused by problems with the supply chain because we don't have the proper flow of goods and services. So you have fewer goods. So the supply is less, demand is greater because people now have, you know, the economy has come back. People have money. They want to spend money. They haven't spent money for 2 years. So you have more dollars chasing fewer products. That causes inflation. And everyone thought, well, you know, eventually, you know, we'll get the supply chain back up to speed, and maybe it'll take a couple of months and then everything will go back to normal. Well, now we're realizing a couple of things. The supply chain is weaker than we thought. It's not coming back. We still have very serious issues. I did a story on First Light last week. 80,000 truck driving jobs are open. There are 80,000 trucks that aren't being driven because there are no drivers for them to move the goods. You know, 70% of our goods move on those trucks. They go right to the ports in Los Angeles and Long Beach, and they pick up the products and they take them to Des Moines and Bangor, Maine and Chicago, wherever they have to go. And 80,000 drivers are not there anymore to drive. I mean, that's an amazing thing. There's so many things happening all at once. The great resignation, people saying, you know what, I don't want to stay in a job that I'm not happy with. I'm quitting. I'm going someplace else. A lot of truck drivers did that because they might have been tired of, you know, because sometimes that can be a very grueling job. And so it all connects. So we have, that's keeping the supply chain weak. I mean, one of many factors keeping the supply chain weak. We're not getting a lot of parts in from overseas that we need. We've had automobile assembly lines in Detroit that get shut down because they don't have chips for the computer chips to run the, you know, all the electronic parts of the car. And then you have trouble getting glass in and plastics from all around the world. And so it slows down those things, drives the price of a new car up. Everything is pushing the prices up right now. And we don't see any short-term resolution to this. And that's very, very scary.
Let's talk about another I word, one that we heard a lot this year. I think it's a word that people had to look up when they first heard it, because it's not a word that's used a lot in their vocabulary, and it's for good reason, too. Hopefully, we don't have to use it again to describe anything, and that I word is insurrection. First, Michael, January 6th, what was that? I mean, I think we're still trying to come to grasp of what exactly happened there. Was it a protest? Was it a riot? Or was it an insurrection, or what was it, a little bit of all three?
I would say it was a little bit of all three, because you had very different kinds of people there. You had some hardcore people who were there to interrupt the democratic process, the peaceful transfer of power after an election. They were there to stop that. They made no bones about it. And there were people threatening murder. Let's hang Mike Pence. Where's Nancy Pelosi? We want Nancy Pelosi. So you had those hardcore people who I think led, you know, the problems inside the building. And then you had other people who were motivated not necessarily by that, but they wanted to perhaps make their feelings known about the election, that they believed President Trump, that the election was somehow stolen from him, and they wanted to express their displeasure with that. And if it meant, you know, maybe breaking a few windows or breaking a few chairs, they were willing to do that. Then you had people who were just kind of swept up by not the excitement, but just the, you know, first of all, the physical movement of people, and you don't know what's ahead of you, and you're interested, and you think, you know, you just kind of get swept up into it. I know a lot of the people who have been arrested and facing charges say, you know, I lost my mind. I didn't know what I was doing. You get into a mass hysteria. So you have all kinds of different currents going on there with different kinds of people, hardcore people, people kind of in the middle, and then some people who were just totally confused and not even sure how they got there. So, but definitely, you know, there was definitely an insurrection, which is, you know, a violent attempt to or violent or nonviolent attempt to upend the democratic process. And there were people, that's what their intention was.
The outfall of that first was resulting in another impeachment. Granted, it was a failed attempt, but there was a second attempt to impeach President Trump.
I know. And it happened a week after the mob stormed the Capitol. I mean, unbelievably fast. There was not the usual process. I think they wanted to, obviously they were trying to do it because the president only had two more weeks in office. And yeah, you know, this is one of the things that I'm surprised that the what happened on January 6th is still not something that is front and center, because that had never happened before in our nation. That's the kind of thing that happened in places like, you know, in Eastern Europe or South America, where a mob would storm the seat of government and somehow the government would change, you know, hands, but not in America. And I'm surprised that, I guess, because there's so much news happening all the time and we have so much news coming at us 24/7, that it seems like a long, long time ago, and it allows people, when you stop having the focus on it, it allows people who want to revise the history of what actually happened to have some purchase, to be able to get their story out. And that becomes the dominant story for many people. You know, we've heard members of Congress who at themselves, you know, I've talked to a couple of members of Congress who tell stories of how, you know, I had one member of Congress tell me, I was watching this guy, I'm not going to mention the name, who had tears in his eyes. He was so afraid for his life. And now he's saying it was like a regular tourist visit. But while he was inside, huddled for fearing for his life in the Capitol, tears in his eyes, afraid for his life. And then months later, it was nothing. It was just, you know, maybe it got a little out of hand, but it was nothing. And so you have that happening. And a president impeached twice. It used to be that, you know, a president was only impeached once in our history, and that was in the 1860s. And so when you have two in the space of, you know, like a year apart, you'd think that would be a big thing, but I guess because of it, we got used to it. Now it's become a political weapon, and it's a kind of an as usual. I would assume that if the Republicans take control of the House of Representatives next year, I'm sure that President Biden will be impeached. It's now become a standard part of the political process, you know, which is unfortunate because it does take up a lot of time and energy and attention would be better focused on other things. But yeah, January 6th, the storming of the Capitol, January 6th, Trump impeached over the riot, and it was Senate did acquit him back in February, and then it just kind of slid away into the shadows of history, and we've kind of forgotten all about it.
All right, we talked about inflation, we talked about insurrection, we talked about impeachment. Let's end on perhaps a little bit more of a positive note by talking about our fourth I word of the day, infrastructure. Hey, this is kind of a good moment, right? Bipartisan, you know, you don't hear a lot of big bipartisan stuff these days coming out of Washington, D.C. Must have been kind of exciting, right?
Yeah, well, it's been going on for as long, you know, for probably 30 years when we began to realize that we have, like, you know, pipes carrying our water that were made in the 1880s, and bridges that were built in the 1920s, and a lot of our infrastructure was built during the Great Depression, like, you know, with President Roosevelt, a lot of, you know, bridges and railways and things like that, and they're all beginning to crumble now. And, you know, we've known for a long time, but they've never been able to find the will to pay for it, to find, you know, $1 trillion and put it together to build roads and bridges and rail and make our airports, you know, better, and to have a high-speed internet and have utility lines that are protected. I mean, look what happened in Texas last year. One of the big stories of this past year back in February, the deep freeze in Texas, because millions of Texans suddenly left in the dark and the cold when a winter storm came, and they're in freezing weather, and the electricity all around the state is off. And that was because of political decisions that had been made, and basically having one utility company do everything. And so when the one company got hit, everything went dark. That's amazing that could happen in the United States of America in the year 2021, that a whole state could go dark, because of a storm. That tells you that it's time to do infrastructure. That might have had an effect on some people, maybe to vote for this package. You know, $1 trillion is a lot of money, and that money, I guess it's starting to flow now slowly. It takes a long time. They always talk about shovel-ready projects, but we always find, well, the shovels aren't as ready as we thought. It takes a long time to get that money flowing and to get things built, but that money will leave a legacy of hopefully a creation of jobs, and hopefully creation of a better infrastructure that'll serve us better. And, you know, it was a positive thing to see that you could actually have a bipartisan bill with, you know, almost all Democrats and a pretty big chunk of Republicans going along and saying, yeah, we have to do this. We need to service our folks back home so that they can have the best roads to get to their work and the, you know, safe bridges to get our, you know, that our kids are driving over when they go on the bus to school every morning, whatever it is. You want to make sure that those things are taken care of, that the water that we give to our families is clean, all those things that you take for granted until they stop working. And the country was starting to stop working. And so it probably happened just in time. I think most people think it's good news. There might be some people who disagree and maybe say, maybe the federal government shouldn't be doing that. Maybe local government should do that. But sometimes it takes the federal government to do things local governments can't, like building the interstate highway system, which was one of the, you know, which is like one of the wonders of the world, because, you know, we don't, a lot of people don't realize that until the 1950s, there were no superhighways. You couldn't just drive across the country on a highway or drive between cities. You were on local roads, you know, and as you went from town to town, those roads, some of them could still be dirt roads in some areas. So there are some things only the government can do, and they finally got some work done, and it really was a bipartisan effort. I don't think either side can claim the credit for this one. I think it was people doing the job that they thought they needed to do in Washington to serve the folks back home, and they finally, you know, everybody jokes about Infrastructure Week, because several administrations in a row would say, well, this week we're going to focus on our infrastructure plan. And then it would always get, I know President Trump tried to do that, but just by unfortunate coincidence, every time they had planned Infrastructure Week, some other big news event would happen and kind of wipe it away. And so it became a joke around Washington about Infrastructure Week. Well, now we finally had Infrastructure Week back in November.
Yeah. Well, Michael, we couldn't solve all of the world's problems in 2021. So let's try again in 2022.
Yeah, well, I'm sure some of these things will be continued. I'm sure next year we'll be talking about, hopefully, while we finally got the pandemic under control, so we don't, you know, life is back to somewhat normal. We have to be a little careful. We have to get shots every year, maybe. But, you know, life is normal. And maybe we'll talk about inflation's going down and everybody back to work where they in the jobs they want to be in. And maybe life expectancy is going back up. And maybe we'll have a political campaign that will be based on issues, not nonsense. And we can have some real choices. And, you know, that's all a year from now. I'm looking forward to that. I know it's going to happen, right?
We can only hope. Hey, Michael Toscano, host of First Light. You hear him here every day on WPHM. Joining us here as we look back at some of the biggest stories of the past year. I appreciate this little trip down memory lane, if you will, Michael. We will continue to tune in 2022.
Well, I want to tell you, I'm very proud to be your warm-up act every morning. So that's how I look at it.
Michael Toscano, host of First Light. This is Caleb Gordon filling in for Paul Miller on 1380 WPHM. A happy new year to you, Michael. And again, we'll be in touch in 2022.
All right. Looking forward to it, and happy new year.